Good morning. Thank you again for letting me preach. Give you the scripture. So again, we're in Philippians chapter 4, or again, we are in Philippians. So that should be no surprise. But again, thank you for letting me preach. I have an article here from the CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. And it says, pandemics can be stressful. Understatement, yeah. The COVID-19 pandemic may be stressful for people. Fear and anxiety about a new disease and what could happen can be overwhelming and can cause strong emotions in adults and children. Public health actions such as social distancing can make people feel isolated and lonely, and can increase stress and anxiety. However, these actions are necessary to reduce the spread. Coping with the stress in a healthy way will make you, the people you care about, and your community stronger. So there's a couple of lists, and here are some of the healthy ways to cope with stress, right? One of them is know what to do if you are sick, know where and how to get treatment, take care of your emotional health. Take breaks from watching, regarding, or listening to news stories. Yeah, so maybe turn off your app notifications. I know I need to. Anyway, take care of your body, and also make time to unwind, and then make connections with others as you are doing now. And then lastly, it says connect with your community or faith-based organizations. So that's from the CDC. So great job. You're doing everything like that, and you're here. So during this time, like it says, we are all, we can be anxious because of what's happening in the world. And again, it's kind of an understatement to say that it can be stressful. So how do we overcome anxiety, or how do we overcome stressful situations? The gospel of Jesus Christ guards against our anxieties and brings about contentment. But how do we get to that? Or how does the gospel bring that? Earlier this morning, just recently, while you were praying, that was really a great example of how you overcome those anxieties. It's through worship, through prayer, to God the Father with an attitude of gratitude, right? Whatever may come, Lord God, we thank you for your goodness. So let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Thank you for letting me go through Philippians. It's easier. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. And turn to the next slide. It was, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Wow. So in this statement, you know, we have to, again, remind ourselves, remember where is Paul as he is writing these words. He's writing them in the context of being in prison, right? He is in prison, and he appealed to Caesar, and they're delaying his appointment, and he is waiting. And so what does he do with this time? He goes ahead and he writes a letter to the Philippian church. And he's talking to them about rejoicing in the Lord. We can't rejoice about everything, but we can rejoice in the Lord. And we have to choose to do that. Again, I will say rejoice. Another thing that's really important about Paul is that he is saying that he will indeed rejoice, like in future tense. So for the new year, are you sure you will be rejoicing? I hope that I will be as well, rejoicing in the Lord in the new year. All these are commands in verse 4. And the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. One of the things that was very interesting about the study of Philippians was the advent of the Lord in like chapter 2, chapter 3, and now even chapter 4. The impact of the Lord's rejoicing or the impact of the Lord's coming impacts all aspects of our life, from joy to anxiety. So now we go to verse 6. Next verse, please. Or next slide. There you go. It's a command. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, what is the definition of anxiety? I know that there are people who have anxiety attacks, right? Or they have some phobias. So I brought today with me this purple book. It's actually a desk reference, but it's a desk reference for a diagnostic criteria for DSM-5. So Diagnostic Statistical Manual. Our SPED teacher knows it very well, probably. A special education teacher. And some of the, I'm just going to highlight some stuff. Just name the top. Separation anxiety disorder, selective mutism, specific phobia, social anxiety disorder, social phobia, panic disorder, and panic attacks, agoraphobia, and generalized anxiety disorder. Now, of course, how does this relate to scripture? For one, I'm not trying to, this is a medical definition in the DSM, right? But the definition of anxiety in scripture is a bit different. And for one, I still believe that scripture, a vibrant, real relationship with Christ can help people who have anxiety. So we can't like totally divorce, oh yeah, this has nothing to do with scripture at all, and scripture has nothing to do with our world at all. You know, so there's that bridge that we have to gap, right? We have to think through, pray through, and as a community, live through as well. So I'd like you to go to Luke chapter 10. We'll move about a little bit. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 28. It's not in the slide, by the way, but so this is an idea, a definition of anxiety. So this is a story. The title is, verse 38 through 42. Martha and Mary. Who's ever heard of this parable before? All right, there we go. So now the apostles and Jesus, went on their way. Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. So Martha was doing a good thing, by the way. She wasn't doing a bad thing, right? And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." Sounds like my children. Right? Tell my brother. Okay. But the Lord answered her, you know, in a caring way. He said, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will never be taken away from her." So one of the things that we know about anxiety is that, for one, it can distract, and another, it can be troublesome with many things. So the idea is fragmentation or distraction. Anxiety in scripture is defined as being distracted or being fragmented. Because in the opposite definition, that makes sense, opposite definition is the idea of peace, which we'll go into later on as well. So Jesus himself encourages us that even though we may be anxious about good things, you know, even missionaries, right, can be distracted with very good things. And we must, again, refocus ourselves towards Jesus and being with Christ. So do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, it's not saying that you should thank God for everything, right? I don't thank God for COVID-19, right? We don't thank God for COVID-19, but we do know that it has brought upon good things in life. It has brought upon the idea that we do value relationships. We do value the like shaking hands, right? We do value spending time with people. I don't thank God for COVID itself, but all these positive things that are happening because of our situation is something to be thankful for and thankful about. And the way that you prayed this morning is a great example of how to be thankful despite all the things that we are going through. Going back a little bit, what does it mean to pray? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So in the in Timothy Keller's church, there's a New City Catechism or Bible study. I still got to learn what catechism means. I'm sure you guys know. What is prayer? Prayer is pouring out our hearts to God in praise, petition, confession of sin, and thanksgiving. By the way, has anybody heard of that? The song, New City Catechism by Redeemer? No, it's a good way to remember, teachings. You know, like, what is prayer? Pouring out our hearts. Anyway, so prayer is pouring out our hearts to God. If you just think about the Psalms and all the Psalms that goes through, it really is a pouring out of our hearts to God. So as we pour out our hearts to God, we need to always be thankful. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is a quote, a commentary on this. Paul's antidote is very clear. Let joy take the place of your discontent and anxiety. Look away from yourselves to the needs of your brothers, being willing to yield your rights and privileges to their sake, for their sake. And far as your needs are concerned, bring them all before God in an attitude of thankfulness for what he has already given. If you do this, you will learn what true and unshakable contentment really is. So, anybody know their Hebrew for peace? Shalom, I heard it over here. Shalom, right? So, in order for us to know a word in context in the New Testament, which Jesus uses, we go back to the Old Testament and listen to what it's used for as well, right? So, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, the word is shalom. Shalom is also used to describe the wholeness of a wall, the completeness of a wall. So like this wall is shalom because it's completely, it's complete and it's not separated, right? And the peace of God. Right now in our contemporary times, I believe Jews still greet each other with shalom, right? Like when they see each other, shalom, shalom Shabbat, shalom, so peace be with you this Sabbath, shalom Shabbat. So shalom is a peace that's just not the cessation of a conflict, but also the idea of wholeness. The idea of wholeness. Can you guys, picture that, right? So it's almost like being a whole person. It's kind of like bigger than just not being anxious, according to DSM, right? The idea of God's peace brings about not just peace within ourselves, but like it has a peace between each other, a peace between nations, a peace between God, a peace that almost sounds like heaven. So the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, the peace of God then comes into the New Testament. And honestly, the past couple of weeks, we've been part of an effort to encourage a family due to their loss, right? Their loss of their loved ones. And honestly, where can you find peace but only through Jesus Christ? Of course, you have to be sensitive, be present, listen a lot, more than you speak. You should be willing to be with them through their loss and encourage them with God's word. And be very sensitive to that. So the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So the idea of guard is the idea that, to me, the idea is that you, those thoughts, those anxious thoughts are still there, right? It's not like they will cease, but they will guard your hearts and your emotions. I think hearts is more emotions, your minds are your thoughts. Because our emotions inform our thoughts, and our thoughts inform our emotions, and then our emotions and our thoughts affect our physical bodies as well. So we must be careful about what our thoughts are, what our emotions are. By the way, I have a background in counseling, so if it sounds very counseling-y, it's because I've been going through the passage a little bit more like that. A little bit more in the idea of how would you take the scripture and use it in a counseling context. All right, next one is command to think, verse 8. Okay, thank you. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So it's a command. It's a choice that we have to make. So in addition to prayer, right, in addition to being thankful in prayer, we also need to think. We need to choose our thoughts specifically. You know, one of my greatest privileges of being a chaplain is to talk with somebody who's sometimes suicidal. And, you know, hey, chaplain, this person is being stressed at work. And could you, you know, come and talk to this person about suicide? Or come talk to the soldier, not about suicide. Anyway. Yeah, so you go over there and you're like, hey, how's it going? And you have to ask the question, right? You can't like say, do you think about harming yourself? You can't say that. Or they don't recommend you say that. They say you should really ask them the question. Do you think about killing yourself? Do you think about killing yourself? And of course, when doing that, you do that with positive regard, with encouragement, and you really, how can you help someone who is thinking about suicide? For one, you can help them say it out loud, because by saying it out loud, it helps them to say that they need help, right? And also, it gives you the opportunity to challenge them as to, not challenge them, but not saying, hey, what were you thinking, but, you know, ask them gently, you know, encouragingly, why are you thinking, or what brings you to those thoughts, right? And what are some reasons why you think those thoughts could be wrong? Or what are some reasons for you to live? And then we go on to like ideas of like, well, maybe we need to develop a safe plan, or how do we keep you safe? Can we let your loved ones know, those that live with you, you know, that you're having these thoughts, and how can we engage your community? Because I'm not going to live with them, so it's just not it's not feasible. But anyway, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, think about these things. So in those conversations, you bring about the idea of life, right? And you bring about the idea of a triune God who built, who created humanity, and who, because they bear the image of God, is worth something already, right? Worth enough that, God is righteous, man is sinner, Jesus is Savior, and all you have to do is trust in Christ. So all those things come into those conversations, Lord willing. It's not always perfect, but it's, you know, that's what the idea is. So again, in all situations, whether it's in our anxiety or in depression, right? Think about these things. In Psalm 42, it says, why are you downcast, O my soul? You know? So it's like kind of weird, right? You're talking to yourself. So, my soul, why are you downcast? Right? It's like, is David talking to himself? So, you know, David is talking to himself, and then he says, hey, soul, hope in God. Hey, soul, hope in God, for I shall again praise him. So David is telling his thoughts, right? That you will again praise God. Have hope. So that's the idea. I think we can be overwhelmed with our own thoughts, and we need to speak back to our thoughts the word of God. You know, we need to pray through those things as well. All right. And again, command the practice. Verse 9. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You know, a lot of things in life, we need mentors. If you think through your time, I believe you probably have a lot of mentors that brought you through life and brought you through a lot of the most difficult decisions that you've had to make. I know that in the business world, I've always, my mother has a lot of experience in business, and it's usually the same problems, and she's always gone through those same problems, and she is a great mentor in how do you solve these business problems. In the ministry, in the chaplaincy, I've had the privilege of working with individuals where there's a lot of mentorship in how to. So you're about to meet with somebody who's, you know, needs counseling. Well, we should make it a practice that we pray before meeting with them, right? We should make it a practice that we pray after them as well. So the same thing Paul is saying, what you have learned, what you have received and heard in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So we must remember, again, you know, what's difficult in the modern, you know, American theology is that we sometimes think that the epistles, the Bible, is only talking to me alone. But really, in reality, it's talking to a group of people, a church, the Philippian church. So when what you all have learned and received and heard in me, y'all practice these things, and the God of peace will be with y'all. So it really, you have to, again, read that this is second person plural. It's all y'all that are supposed to practice all these things. And even just to think about it, right? So what are some of the spiritual practices that Paul has already encouraged us to do? One of them is praying, right? Which you are doing right now. One of them is forgiving. You know, that's a weird verse in the middle of the passage, right? In Philippians chapter 4. La, la, la. And you, person A and person B, make sure you forgive each other and then rejoice in the Lord always, right? And like, it's really interesting that, again, we need to be forgiving of one another. Also, we need to be giving. In the latter part of 9 through, I think, 12 and 13, it does give that idea of commanding them about giving to Paul. So remember those that have mentored you. Remember how to practice these things and how to do them right. And so not just prayer, but in prayer being thankful. And as we're being thankful, may we think, choose rightly the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes, you know, in counseling, people kind of like, you know, do this reframing, you know, reframe it this way or think it this way. But one of the things that we also need to bring about is the idea, the narrative of Jesus Christ and the gospel truth and how it impacts universally our lives. So it's not just like, you know, little baby steps, but the grand scheme and the grand idea of things. So we're skipping verse 10. Not that verse 10 is bad, but verse 11 and 13. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Verse 12, I know how to be brought down and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, one of the most abused verses in scripture is verse 13, right? People have used it to run a marathon, or usually it's more sports analogies, right? Not that that's bad necessarily, but it's just, it's the wrong context. What does Paul say that him, Christ, strengthens me to do? It strengthens me to be content. To be content. I think we still have a long way to go, but we need to be content in what we have. Does this mean we don't pray for change? No, because in verse 4 and verse 5, it says that you need to pray with your request and your supplication, with thanksgiving and praise, right? But I think specifically here is about our situation in terms of maybe money, hunger, and what we have. For I have learned, verse 11, and then latter part of verse 12, it says, I have learned. So if the Apostle Paul has had to learn these things, we too have to learn these things. And we need to continue to learn these things as well. The gospel of Jesus Christ guards against our anxieties and brings contentment. Therefore, we must pray to God the Father with an attitude of gratitude, be thinking of the gospel realities, and practicing what we have learned. To conclude, I'd like to read Psalm 42 and then end in prayer. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before you? My tears have been my food day and night. While they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in the procession in the house, to the house of God, with glad shouts of songs and praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan of Hermon and Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to my God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning before the oppression of the enemy, as with a deadly wound in my bones and adversaries taunt me? While they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Let us pray. Father God, we come before you. We thank you so much for your word. And we thank you that even in the Old Testament, there is a need to speak truth into ourselves. In the New Testament, we again need to pray, be thankful, and Lord God, think and practice. Father God, I pray for Faith Church that you would encourage them when they are distracted. Save them, Lord God, from ourselves. And help us, Lord God, to worship you always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.